Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello and welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jen and my co-host is the birthday girl.
What's up? I'm here.
That's Jess, everyone who doesn't even know what this podcast is.
I know. What's up?
September 17th, you little Virgo.
Yeah, we're a peculiar breed, Virgos.
Happy birthday. Are you so excited to spend it with me and with our listeners?
I'm so excited. Guys, you make my day.
No, truly, what are you doing to celebrate?
On September 7th, obviously we're not recording this on September 17th exactly. On September 17th, I know we're recording with another big name guest.
That's your present.
I just booked that today. No, we're recording with a very special guest. I'm very excited. I am working that day. I did not take that day off. I think that day I'll probably want to have a nice dinner with Jeff, and I've never had a baby on my birthday, so.
Oh my God, this is your first birthday as a mama.
Yeah, I think we'll probably just could do a little outdoor dining, just a little quiet family outdoor dining. This is not,
aww.
We're not doing like a rager down on the Lower East Side. I think that's not in the cards.
I'll do that for you.
Thank you.
Next Thursday.
And hopefully Janetta will be here. Hopefully Janetta will be here. If you followed along, you know she's not well. But I'm petting her right now at the time of recording. So
I think that she'll be there for your
birthday. I hope so. That would be a birthday
gift. Do you know what my present is to you? Clearly not, because you're looking at me very surprised.
I'm like, just your presence. Just no, the presence of your co-hostum.
Jess, I'm giving you the gift of beauty sleep. See what I did there?
Yes, yeah. I was like, what's going on? I was like, should I check my email?
What if like this just turned into a big surprise party? Like people just exploded into your room.
Oh my God.
Sorry, it's pandemic times. You're not getting a surprise party.
No, you
are getting our fab interview with Dr. Michael Bruce, the founder of The Sleep Doctor.
Well,
I'm just going to tell everybody about him since the interview does not do that. It's always awkward to like talk about a person while they're sitting there on Zoom with you. So we're recording this in advance. He's a psychologist who specializes in clinical sleep disorders. He has a practice in LA, a PhD in psychology from the University of Georgia, and he's a fellow of the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. He's written multiple books. The one in 2000 was, of course, called Beauty Sleep. And then I was looking into like where he's appeared and all that. Honestly, it'd be easier to name the very few daytime talk shows he hasn't been on, because he has been on everything. He's like, you've probably seen him on Oprah, on Oz. Is the Oprah show still on? I don't even know. Ray.
It's not still on.
I know. The Today Show. I mean, he's been doing this for a while. Yeah, Fox and Friends, The Doctors. Clearly, you know, he knows what he's talking about. This summer,
he looks like too young to have like been on all these shows. Like, there's a youthful energy about him.
But that's because he sleeps so goddamn much. Actually, he doesn't. You'll hear that in the episode. Well, this summer he launched his own podcast. It's called Sleep Success. He talks to high profile guests about sleep challenges and offers sleep tips. Can I just say, if you need like an episode to dip in, the Paris Hilton episode is a delight. Like, it's just like such a weird disconnect to have her and him, yeah. But it, like, somehow I was feeling it. So hopefully our interview will be just as fun. And here's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce, hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So we already filled in our listeners about your podcast and who you are.
Cool.
I'm just gonna jump right in. How many hours did you sleep last night?
So I get this answer, asked this question fairly frequently.
Oh, I thought I was so original. Okay,
I'm sorry, you're not. There are other ones we can do for more originality if you want. So I go to bed right around midnight, and I wake up somewhere between 6:06 and 6:13 every single day without an alarm.
Okay, so the answer is about 6 hours.
Yeah, roughly 6 hours. And so I'm the sleep doctor. What's going on, Dr. Bruce? How can you do that?
That's fascinating to me. I probably wouldn't be able to speak if I only slept 6 hours. How does somebody find out how many hours is ideal? Like, I assume people are different, right?
They are. And that's actually a very astute observation. So the good news here is people are very different. It depends upon their age. It can depend upon their gender. For women, it can actually depend upon where they are in their menstrual cycle. It can also depend upon if they're going through menopause. Very different total sleep times, or what we call sleep need, changes dramatically, more so for women than it does for men. But generally speaking, we used to say people need somewhere between 7 and 9 hours as sort of a general rule. And that was how I kind of started out. Originally, I would go to bed around 11, getting up at 6:30. And what I discovered over time was the more consistent I am with my sleep schedule, meaning waking up at the same time every single day, Saturdays, Sundays, doesn't matter, my entire sleep need began to shrink. I used to need 7.5 hours, almost 8 hours.
Did you just call me dude?
I did.
I love it. I like you already.
So at the end of this whole thing, your sleep need is going to change depending upon the consistency of your schedule. It can also depend on things like stress, like alcohol consumption, caffeine consumption. I mean, there's a lot of factors that can go into how much sleep a person actually needs. But the way I judge it is, when I go to sleep, when does my body naturally wake me up? And when I wake up, within 2 to 3 minutes, do I feel refreshed? Like, I'm not saying the greatest sleep I've ever had. I'm saying, do I feel like I'm not going to go back to bed? I've got a decent amount of energy. Let's get up and get my day going.
And that's how you know you're in the right space.
Okay. Yeah. But to be fair, it probably took, I don't know, close to 2 years of consistent sleep schedule for it to really start to shrink like that. But it happened over the course of time, and I wasn't expecting it. And that's actually what I do now, is I do high-performance sleep coaching. I actually teach people how to shrink their sleep schedule in a safe and healthy way.
Every expert that we interview says that sleep improves your appearance, but we never really get down to the nitty-gritty of like what
that means. Sure, do you want to know why?
Yeah, like tell us the details, like what's happening when we're sleeping that actually leads us to looking better. We just assume that it does. How?
Yeah, well, it kind of does. It depends. So number one, it depends on if you get enough, right? And if you get good quality. If you get those two things, do you look better? The answer is kind of, but it depends upon what you mean by look better. So here's what we know about how sleep affects our body from an aesthetic standpoint, like from beauty sleep. Like, what is beauty sleep? By the way, sleep deprivation can be a lack of time or a poor quality sleep. So somebody could get 9 hours of really crappy sleep, or somebody could get 6 hours of really good sleep, and the 6 hour person is the person I would want to be.
Well, what does the crappy sleep mean?
So the crappy sleep means that you don't get into the depth of sleep. You don't get into stages 3 and 4 and into REM, number one. Number two, it could also mean that you wake up frequently. So you're popping up and down, or that you're super restless all night long. So it could be the stage quality, or it could be the frequency of the awakenings or the length of the awakenings that would change that in that particular instance. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What does sleep deprivation do to the body? It does 4 things. Number one is it increases appetite. Why? Because our brain is looking for a reason why we're awake. So it figures, I got to go get more resources. The second thing it does is it slows down our metabolism. Again, why? To slow down the use of those resources, right? So the brain is saying, I'm up. I only got so much food in my belly, I better slow down because I might need this energy later, right? So it slows down our metabolism, speeds up our appetite.
But does it do right that there, like, but does that do that like, okay, I get a bad night's sleep or like it's a bit of a busy week, my metabolism is really slowing down? Or is that like a chronic thing? Like, you know, like if you don't get enough sleep for like a month or years, or like—
It happens almost immediately.
Oh, that's scary. That's really scary.
It is happening right this very moment if you have lost sleep.
Wow.
There's a, there's more problems too, by the way. I did not know.
Oh, no, keep going. This is a scary story. Keep going.
So the science gets even more interesting.
We're saving this for Halloween, special Halloween episode. Oh, yeah.
The scariness of it. Yeah. I usually do nightmare interviews then and talk about nightmares then. but when we talk about it, the second thing is this thing called leptin and ghrelin. So these are two hormones that absolutely positively have a tremendous effect on your metabolism. I call ghrelin the go hormone because it starts with G and it tells your body to go eat. So remember how I told you how appetite increases?
Yeah.
This actually increases hunger. Believe it or not, those are two very different things in our brain. Mm-hmm. And so now we've got high hunger, high appetite, low metabolism. And then there's this stuff called leptin that we get less of. Leptin is what tells our belly it's full. Mm. So think about it like that. I mean, it just keeps getting worse, right? Like I'm sleep deprived. My metabolism is shit. You know, all I want to do is eat. What's going on? And here's the kicker.
Yeah.
We crave high fat, high carbohydrate foods the more sleep deprived we are.
Oh, sure.
Why? Because when we're sleep deprived, our cortisol levels are quite high in our brain. Cortisol is that fight or flight hormone that makes you like, I want to get out of here. And your brain doesn't like it when it's full of cortisol. So it wants something to lower that cortisol. The best thing to lower cortisol is something called serotonin. Serotonin is secreted by the brain. Guess when it's secreted the most? When you eat high fat, high carbohydrate foods.
I was about to say like a nice bowl of pasta, cheesy noodles.
A Snickers. Yeah, exactly.
A nice
so when
bagel.
You're sleep deprived, what do you crave?
Something,
right? You want
carbs.
Cakes and cookies and pies and ice cream and all of that crap because it's comfort food. It literally makes you feel more comfortable because it lowers your cortisol level. That's one of the biggest issues when it comes to sleep. And we've just talked about weight. We can actually talk about several aspects of how we look better due to sleep. And those actually have a couple of different functions as well. The biggest ones have to do with hydration, collagen production, and something called growth hormone. Those three things that all seem to happen during stage 3-4 sleep is really what beauty sleep is all about. You want to know what they do?
Yes. I my mind is like spinning right now. Yes.
I know.
Keep going.
I do that sometimes to people.
Yes. Tell us about the hydration and collagen production. I want that even more than a sped up metabolism.
Right. So here's what's interesting about sleep is we have this stuff called growth hormone that's emitted only during stages 3 and 4 sleep, which is the largest amount of growth hormone that we have, which is actually really good. It's kind of like bringing your car into the body shop and getting the dents and the dings and all that, you know, all the stuff kind of knocked out of it. But what growth hormone does is it actually helps promote the production of collagen. So collagen is like rubber bands that are inside your skin that keep your skin taut.
Yes, now you're speaking our language.
Right?
Gotcha.
So when we talk about collagen and we talk about elasticity, right, that's what growth hormone helps with. But when the collagen gets like an old rubber band, you know, if you stretch it too many times or it's out in the sun, it cracks and it stops. And then it's not as elastic. Mm-hmm. Our faces are out in the sun. Right? This hydration, right? You can see where hydration can come in and where sun can come in and have some of these damaging factors, specifically to skin. And so when we have a dehydrated body, guess what happens? It shrinks a little. It shrivels. Mm. You know what those shrivels are?
And my body is dehydrated because I didn't sleep?
Your body is not only dehydrated because you didn't sleep, but because of sleep. Most people don't know it. Sleep is a dehydrative event. In your breath, you breathe out almost a full liter of water every night.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Sweat, oils.
Oh, is that why your breath smells in the morning?
Your breath smells for a slightly different reason. Your breath smells because bacteria develops in your mouth overnight. And many people sleep with their mouth slightly apart. And when that air comes through, it actually it causes the bacteria to grow. Whereas if you kept your mouth closed and you only were breathing through your nose, you wouldn't have the bad breath and you wouldn't have the bacteria either.
Oh, okay.
You touched on hydration, collagen. If you're interested in like maintaining weight, these are all things that are helping with beauty sleep. We didn't talk about under eye circles, and we've talked about them on the show, like bags under your eyes. Mm-hmm. And we know that if you keep your collagen production high, they can hold in those fat pads, and that might help. But there's also those like
acute, I'll call them, dark circles that like only show up the morning after a bad night of sleep. What's going on there? And how do you tell that you have acute dark circles from sleep deprivation as opposed to one of these other types of dark circles?
So one of the things that so dark circles are kind of interesting because they can be cultural, right? And so when you look at people's skin tones and you look at skull sizes and you look at the inset nature of people's eyes and the orbits in which our eyeballs sit inside the skull, they're different for different cultures. And these can cast shadows around the eyes. This is why with some cultures, when you look at them from afar, it always looks like they've got, you know, dark circles or black eyes or something along that line. And it has more to do with shadows than anything else. But the truth of the matter is the acute nature of what you're talking about has to do with blood pooling. So when we don't sleep well and we're sleep deprived, our whole system doesn't work particularly well. Specifically, blood doesn't seem to get out all the way out into the extremities as well as it should. The skin that's underneath our eye here is some of the thinnest skin in the body. To be fair, there's only one place I think that skin is any thinner, and it's between your, you know, this piece right here?
Ooh,
you know,
your thumb divot.
Right, you know that there? That, if you feel that skin and you feel this skin, it's incredibly similar. In addition, right underneath the eye, there is a fat pad, right, which helps keep that, but it's not necessarily right up to the skin. So the skin is very transparent. And so if blood pools because circulation isn't going very well, that's when we see the acute dark circles.
And is circulation always not going well while you're sleeping or just during restless sleep?
It's always not well during restless sleep. What seems to happen is during sleep, there's a system called the glymphatic system, and it literally pulls out all the bad stuff, all the bad proteins, all the bad other stuff, and lets the system kind of clean itself. It's kind of like the waste management for the brain, if you will.
Yes.
And so when we have something like that kick through, it actually helps with circulation and helps with all of those different things. And so that's part of the reason why sleep is so critical.
A lot of us are just like, we're just trying to get enough sleep to survive. Like we're just getting by. What is the consequence of just getting, like, if you're just surviving? A lot of us, I know a lot of us are like, we're all working really hard. We're working from home. It's chaotic. Yeah, some people are like homeschooling their children, like barely getting like, you know, just surviving. Like, what is the consequence of this right now?
Are you asking for the long-term health consequences of sleep deprivation?
No,
are you asking
I'm still like in the superficial part of the show.
Got it. So here's what's going to happen.
How will we look different?
You will look like crap the more sleep deprived you are. And I'll tell you the study that was done that proves it. So there was a great study done, I think it was in Germany, and they took pictures of people. Okay. And they took a picture of you and then they had you stay up for 36 hours and they took another picture of you. No makeup, same camera angle, same lighting. Okay. Then they took these two pictures of this person and they gave it to another person. And that person had to rate which picture was sleep deprived and which was normal. 100% accuracy. Okay. We're not hiding anything.
You know what? This is like, I don't even know like how you would describe this, but I feel like when I look really tired, it's not like so much like, oh, this is a dark shadow or like this is a new line. It's like, there's a lifelessness in the eyes.
Yes.
Yes.
So they've actually documented this. It's actually quite interesting. When people are sleep deprived, they give off, for lack of a better word, a vibe, like don't mess with me. they don't know that they're doing it. It's documented and it's effective. So what happens when you're sleep deprived and you're just a little cranky, nobody wants to get near you because they can tell. So when we talk about aesthetics, right, and we talk about beauty, right, from an aesthetic standpoint, we also need to talk about the unconscious beauty and the unconscious beauty signals that we're sending out to people, which
like
has to do with our mood.
Nonverbal communication.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
There'd be like a micro angriness on my face.
Totally.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Dr. Lewis.
Totally.
Yeah,
that's
like
there.
Not like a, it's not a line. It's not a wrinkle. It's just
no,
like this
no, no.
Very
it's not a perceptible.
Nature.
Exactly. Exactly. It's this weird phenomenon that seems to occur when people aren't sleeping well. I mean, think about it. When you haven't slept well, are you really interested in anybody saying hi and, you know, talking? And, you know, unless they're going to help you do whatever that project is that you're trying to do, you're kind of like, can you just back the heck off? Because I want to do my thing and go to bed, right?
It's the opposite the of like when so, it's the opposite of like, you know, when someone's like in love or like they're someone's yeah. like, you've got a glow about you.
Right.
Or like, what's going on right. with her? And this is like the exact opposite. It's like, ooh.
Totally.
Something's going yeah. on.
You have a darkness
her.
About you.
Have you seen those memes of, they're so funny. They're really mean, but it's like, quarantine or 2020 has been hard on everyone. It's like Jennifer Aniston on one side and Iggy Pop on the right.
Right.
That's how
it's
I
like
feel.
The sleep.
She has interesting
no sleep.
Sleep issues, by the way.
Who does?
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, does she? Well, you know what?
Yeah. She's a known sleepwalker. They've actually found her in her neighborhood before.
Oh my God.
Totally. Swear to God. I mean, that's the report. I don't know her personally, but yeah.
Even celebrities have sleep issues. Anyway, Jen,
oh my gosh. You
had something interesting to say.
No, I didn't. I wanted to get to like, clearly you've told us how bad this can be. I want to like paint a picture of what makes sleep, what gives us good sleep. Like, mm-hmm. what does the room look like that sure. is a good sleeping room, for example?
So mm-hmm. I believe that sleep is a performance activity. And so I'm a runner. Right. And okay. so if I go running in flip-flops and cutoffs with a torn t-shirt and a boombox on my arm, I can get from the start of the race to the end, but my time's not going to be too good. But if I've got my Asics on and my dry fit wear and I've got good tunes, I can run 8-minute miles, no problem. Right. Because
okay,
I've got the right
the
equipment.
What's the 8-minute mile bedroom?
Right.
I love that.
So the question becomes, what is the 8-minute mile bedroom? Right. And so if you look around your bedroom, roughly 20 to 25% of your sleep can be affected by the accessories that are in your room.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot. So the number one effect, so the way I look at a bedroom is I look at the five senses, okay? Sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell, right? And so if I can look in a bedroom and see all of those things that are positive for sleep, that's going to be a positive sleep environment. If I can maybe accentuate some of those so that they're better, then I can make it into a positive environment. But in many cases, people's bedrooms are crap because, like, first of all, you walk in, there's a pile of laundry here, there's a laptop over there, you know, the bed hasn't been made type of thing. Like, is that inviting? Like, is that a sanctuary? Is that a place where you want to walk in and calm down and chill? No, probably not. It's like, oh shit, I walked in and I got to do my laundry and I forgot that
okay, so a neat bedroom, A, is what I hear you saying.
Not neat, clean, right?
Clean.
It should be, it should be stress-free. It should be like when you walk in, you should be like, oh, this is my place in the house or the apartment or wherever I am that I can totally chill out, right? Maybe it's got your favorite blanket or a favorite pillow. Maybe there are colors in the room that you like, muted colors, like earth tones or things like that. There's actually data looking at color and how it affects your ability to stay awake or go to sleep.
What's the best sleeping color?
Yeah, I like this.
Earth tones, browns and greens seem to do the best. You want to stay away from the bright, brights.
Jen colors. Just like almost threw up.
I don't like brown decor. Sorry, go yeah. on.
So those are the ones that have been shown to cause less emotion. Because the key okay. here is when you're walking into a bedroom to sleep, what you're not looking for is emotion. What you're looking for is relaxation, right? And so if you walked into a red bedroom, like, I don't think that's really going to tell you you want to sleep, right? But if you okay. walk into, let's say, a lavender bedroom, right, or a lighter brown, you know, or beige or whatever, that is going to have a more of a tendency, again, from the eye, from the sight perspective. The biggest thing I look okay. for isn't color, it's light. Light is the okay. biggest offender for sleep without question, right? Because when light hits your eye, there's a certain type of light called blue light, which is 460 to 480 nanometers. It hits a particular cell in your eye called a melanopsin cell, and it turns off the melatonin faucet in your brain.
Mm-hmm. Even
that is no bueno. Yep.
That's interesting.
Okay. No bueno.
So if you could deal with a sleep mask, that would help with that, right?
Sleep masks are great. Or you could
blackout
wear blue light
shades.
You could wear blue light blocking glasses. Those work really well.
To bed. Have
so most people wear them to fall when they're falling asleep to read or to watch television. And that's usually how they do it. And I'm also okay. a proponent. I let people watch TV to fall asleep. I don't have any problems with that. I'm the only sleep doctor that says it's okay.
Why do you think that's okay?
Well, there's two reasons. Number one is I've never seen any convincing data to suggest that it's a bad idea. And number two, my wife falls asleep with the television on every single night. We've been married for 20 years. And so I had to figure that one out.
Do you think okay. that it's like, because I sometimes find like it relaxed. I don't have a TV in my room, but like mm-hmm. In college I did, and I used to find it mm-hmm. very relaxing to yeah. my roommate. My roommate still laughs at me. Like she's like, obviously not my roommate anymore.
but she still brings it up. I used to fall asleep to QVC. Like, I found it very super relaxing.
It's your happy place, Jess.
Right.
Yes.
No, what it is, so, like, is it's benign. A distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a distraction technique that everybody uses to help distract their brain. Because here's the problem. When you get in bed at night, it's the first time nobody's talking to you and telling you to do something or you having to do something. So guess what happens? All of your thoughts come flooding in. And you're like, oh, crap, what did I do today? Oh, wow, I really shouldn't have said that. Or, oh, I wish I would have done this. And your brain just starts going and going and going. That's about the worst time for you to have an active thought, is in the dark before trying to fall asleep.
But it's the only time you do have time to think these days.
Well, but so
I see your point.
Jen,
right, so
that's
part of the issue, right? And so what I have my patients do is I schedule time, a half an hour for my patients every day to write down what I call a worry journal. So a worry journal is where you write down all the different things that you're thinking about that normally you would be thinking about at that time. And then you just write one solution. Doesn't have to be the best solution, doesn't have to be the final solution, but it's one step to get you closer to a solution of something that you're worried about, which lowers your stress. 75% of the reason that people don't sleep is anxiety, period.
Yeah.
It's anxiety.
So you should do that well before, I guess, you're in the bedroom trying to... that it's like out of your head by the time you're ready.
Correct. No, but immediately before bed, like literally before you turn out the light, I would argue you should do a gratitude list.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. I got science behind it. So here's what's interesting. If you are optimistic before sleep, not only do you fall asleep more quickly, but you have more positive dreams. About now, I think everybody could use a little bit more positive dreams.
No, right? I go to sleep.
Right?
And I'm like looking on Twitter. I'm looking on CNN. And I'm like,
You need a media diet for 90 minutes before bed. I recommend it to everybody.
Okay, so we're not going to sleep to CNN, Fox, MSN, whatever.
No. Go to sleep to Seinfeld.
Okay.
Okay, go to sleep to QVC or HSN like you seem to like to do. That's great.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
And by the way, 99% of televisions have a timer built into them now. Just go into the software, click on the timer, and have it turn off 3 hours after you fall asleep. I mean, who cares, right?
So I'm like so involved in this conversation. I forgot the next question I was supposed to ask you, but like, let's go. Let's.
You
just
do
get
seem
back
pretty interested.
Track.
You're very intent. You're looking at me.
No, I'm like so, because I'm thinking about my own behaviors. I'm looking around my room and I'm like, oh my God. Like N-O. But also,
we'll fix you soon, Jess. Don't worry.
I'm really curious though, because I do think, and I'm sure, and I'm sure other people who live in the city, or I'm saying the city, a city, or small places, or share with roommates, are probably thinking, well, how am I supposed to create a sleep haven if I live with three roommates that I share, or I live in a studio? Like, how are they supposed to do that?
Sure. So number one, buy an eye mask. Pretty simple.
Okay. You mentioned that.
That's easy. That takes care of light for you almost invariably. Number two, buy some earplugs if you need them, or a sound machine, something to mask the noise.
Oh, I love. I have a yoga sleep sound machine. We used to work with them. They're so great. We don't work with them anymore, but they're amazing. Yoga sleep.
Yeah, but sound machines are a great option. I'll tell you what I'm totally addicted to right now. You're gonna laugh hysterically. I found this new app. It's called RestFlix, like Netflix, but RestFlix. It's awesome. They've got all these different channels and they've got all kinds of music. They even have video, some like really interesting stuff. I think they've got some ASMR. I like it because it's fun and it's interesting and you just kind of chill, right?
Okay.
Like there's nothing wrong with just chilling before bed. Like most people think sleep's an on-off switch. It really doesn't work that way. It's more like slowly pulling your foot off the gas and slowly putting your foot on the brake. There's sort of a process that has to happen there. To be clear, if it takes you longer... If it takes you less than 10 minutes to fall asleep, that's not good. You're sleep deprived.
Okay.
Yeah, I told that to Oprah, by the way, when I was on her show. And it was pretty funny because she said, Stedman falls asleep in under 2 minutes. And I'm like, dude, that's not good. Like, that's bad.
What does that mean? You're too tired?
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really
Let me ask you guys a question. How many, Jess, how many times you hit the snooze button? Come on.
It's harder now because we have a baby. So she's kind of like, she dictates.
Oh, we can talk about mommyhood
on.
And sleep
a human
for sure.
Snooze.
Yeah,
she's a human
I can't
alarm,
like hit. Yeah, exactly.
Is.
I can't be like, shush. Yeah. So she says what's up. But before, easily 3-4 times.
Right. So that tells me that you were not sleeping within the right sleeping time for you because you kept having... So first of all, the snooze is the single worst invention in all of sleep. The average snooze is between 7 and 9 minutes long, and your body physically can't get into a deep stage at that point in time. So when you hit the button, let's say 3 times, you just gave yourself 21 minutes of really crappy sleep.
Yeah. Of nothing. It didn't
of
even
nothing.
Happen.
Of totally no value, right? You'd have been better off setting the alarm at the last possible moment.
Yeah.
And then getting
and
it.
Then go.
Yeah,
what's
totally.
The amount of time that will give you a good sleep? How many minutes do you need?
Again, it's really going to be variable based on...
No, I mean
on,
for like the ideal snooze button would be like another 30.
Oh, so yeah. So the way I tell people about it is you have to think about it in terms of the sleep cycle, right? So when you have a sleep cycle towards the end of the night, it's got preponderance of REM sleep in it. And so if you continue to, like, let's say you go back to sleep, if you get back into REM sleep, it's going to be hell to get you out. So you'd have to be able to take a nap-ish, or morning nap, if you will, where you would sleep only up until that REM period was about to start, because it would be very difficult to get you out of that without like a significant alarm. So I would say, depending upon where you are, maybe 15, 20 minutes. But I wouldn't do it because, again, it's just not going to give you anything that's worthwhile. I'd rather you just get up and get out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
A
Okay, listen, I got to ask you a question because I know I'm going to keep like pushing this off because I just think there's my mind is going crazy with so much information. Let's talk about the other factor. Mm-hmm. For those of us who have a partner or mm-hmm. a little critter that we sleep yeah. with.
What human do you think critter about this? Or animal critter? Because I have
either.
Both.
I mean, sometimes we could just, it's an apt description for either. Okay. A husband, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whoever, a loved right. one. Mm-hmm. Or a little friendly four-legged critter.
Right.
Do they affect our sleep positively? Sometimes it's nice. Mm-hmm. Or negatively. Sometimes it's not
I would say with animals, overwhelmingly positive.
Agree. I was nervous you were going to be one of these like people who are like, get them out.
No. I have a French bulldog and a Devon Rex cat that sleep in my bed every single
beautiful.
Night.
Bulldogs snore, don't they?
They do.
So relaxing.
Trust me.
It's a little mini awesome. Sound machine.
Yeah, exactly. A free one. My wife thinks he's like a little sound machine. I'm like, he's a pain
look
in the
how,
ass.
See, Jess, you're optimistic. You're going to sleep well tonight. That was like a good reframe.
There you
like,
go.
I like a mini sound machine. I like that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem okay. with animals in the bed. The bigger issue is children in the bed, right? And so, look, I have an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. The good news is they're not still in my bed. however, when they were, I don't know, 2 and 3, were they occasionally? Yeah, sure, of course they were. Right. And so when you're a new mom and you're trying to understand all new dad, whatever, and you've got this creature who needs all these things and, you know, you are 100% on focus on them, it's very difficult to try to get a great night's sleep. So what I've often done with my parents is we do a call schedule. So just like doctors are on call certain nights and not on call other nights. So what we do is we split the couple up and one person is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. The other person is Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And you alternate Sundays in terms of middle of the night, you know, you go get them, you go get her type of thing. And what's great about that is one person knows, even if they woke up because they heard the baby crying, they know that other person's got them covered. And so they can go back and get some sleep. Right. The other thing I've done is I've split the night in half. So some couples that I have, one person's an early bird and one person's a night owl. And so we can rotate it that way because they're already staying up until, you know, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. They don't mind watching the baby if the baby gets up, you know, up until like, let's say 3. And then the other person might take on after that.
Wow. So you've already dispelled a bunch of myths that I thought I had about like no television in the bedroom and like animals disrupt your sleep. What mm-hmm. are some other sleep tips that you hear again and again? Because a lot of people are, there's like sleep doc, there's a lot of sleep experts mm-hmm. that you're just there like, are. That's not true. Yeah. Here is your platform to dispel the myths. Teach sure. the people.
Sure. Well, so first of all, I would always caution people in terms of where do you get your information? Right? Because okay. there's a lot of people out there who are calling themselves sleep experts. And the truth of the matter is they're just on their personal journey and they may have helped their sleep in some very significant way for them. I'm a board certified sleep specialist. So I pretty much have all the data behind it to be able to help people. So one thing, people should always be conscious of where you're getting your data from in terms of these myths, because there are quite a few of them. The biggest one that I like to dispel has to do with caffeine. So I can't count the number of people who tell me, Dr. Bruce, I can have a cup of coffee after dinner and I can fall right to sleep, no problem. Caffeine doesn't affect my sleep, right? I mean, I hear this constantly, okay?
Uh-huh. So look at Jess. She's just like...
Yeah, I know she's shrinking.
Slinking
she's
away.
She's slinking down and shrinking, right? Jess, you're my problem child. Just leave it at that, okay? So
it's not true, is it? Okay.
So when we look at caffeine, here's the basics of how caffeine works. Caffeine is a stimulant, doesn't matter how you slice it. There are, however, different caffeine sensitivities. So I've got one patient, she can eat 2 chocolate kisses and she could be up for 48 hours. I got another guy who can drink a pot of coffee and fall right to sleep. The difference here is the quality, okay? Jess, you might have a cup of coffee at 6 o'clock in the evening and be able to fall right asleep, but if I stick electrodes on your head, your quality is crap. I can guarantee it. So caffeine, whether you're able to fall asleep or not, that's the quantity versus quality issue that I think people really need to start thinking about. The second one is alcohol. Lots of people are like, oh, alcohol is not a problem. It makes me feel sleepy. You know, more people, by the way, use alcohol to fall asleep than any sleep aid in the world.
I mean, it's called a sedative, so that does make sense, right?
Right. but here's the truth, Jen, is there's a really big difference between going to sleep and passing out. Okay. Really big difference.
One glass of wine isn't going to make you pass out.
That's correct. One glass of wine is not going to make you pass out. In fact, one glass of wine, if you have one glass of water and you wait 1 hour, will have zero effect on your sleep. Two glasses of wine and two glasses of water and waiting 2 hours will have zero effect on your sleep. It all gets weird at the third drink.
Okay.
So here's what we know happens with alcohol, depending upon your size and metabolism and those types of things, is once you hit drink number three, is it actually gives you energy, not sedative.
Yeah, my 20-year-old self knows about that, yes.
Right? So you remember back in the day when...
20s, not 20. I didn't drink when I was 20. Go on.
You know, back in the day when you were out partying, once you hit that third drink, you could pretty much go. Right? But the first couple might be chill, might be relaxed, might be laid back. Same holds true as you're an adult. In fact, it probably gets worse. But here's the key factor that most people don't understand, because we're again talking about quality sleep here, is It all has to do with how close the ingestion was to when you fell asleep. So if you had three drinks and then get in bed, your sleep is destroyed. Okay? It
not
completely
good.
Knocks out stage 3-4 sleep. What is the big thing that we like about stage 3-4 sleep?
Collagen.
That's right. It's beauty sleep.
And other things.
The key way to really look like crap is to go to bed drunk, right? And then wake up the next day. Now, let's talk about that for a second as well. When you're drinking alcohol, what ends up happening? You gotta pee, right? Because alcohol is a diuretic. So you start peeing because, you know, once you break the seal, you're peeing all night long, right? So then you become dehydrated.
Go on. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's not a myth.
It's
not a myth.
Then you become dehydrated because you have a diuretic in you, which is called alcohol. Then you go to bed and what happens? You lose humidity, right? You lose from your breath.
So, yeah.
And so now you become more dehydrated. Then what do most people do? They wake up in the morning. What do they drink?
Water.
Coffee.
Water.
Oh.
No. Okay. Coffee. And what happens when they drink coffee? It's a diuretic.
Right.
It makes you even more dehydrated.
Vicious cycle, Dr. Bruce.
It's beyond a vicious cycle. We're turning into prunes, right? Like, we're shrinking, right? So you girls are interested in wrinkles, right? And you girls are interested in the aesthetics and in the beauty of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Hydration is your freaking friend when it comes to beauty.
Yeah. Okay. Before we wrap up this interview with our speed round, I just have to ask a brief... Yeah, that's the fun part at the end. I was going to ask... I have noticed since the pandemic started, my dreams are so vivid. I am remembering so many more dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if you find that with other people. And also, what is it that makes you remember or not remember a dream when you wake up?
So what you're describing is something that we're now calling Quarren dreaming. So there is actually a term for it. I've written about it. So if people want to learn more in depth, you can head on over to thesleepdoctor.com and check out my blog on it.
Quarren dreaming.
That's Quarren so cool.
Quarren dreaming. But basically what's happening is, and just to get kind of serious for a second here, this is the most stressful time anybody's ever been under that I've ever met. I don't know anybody that's alive today that's been through something like this. And the stress that's on us all is having a massive effect. And it's not even conscious, right? I'm worried about like my grandmother, you know, I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my career. I'm worried about my health. Like it's this massive amount of anxiety and by the way, my business might be going out soon. You know, maybe I got a check from the government. Maybe I didn't. Like the stress is unbelievable right now.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of the biggest functions of dreams that we think is processing of emotions? Right? So it makes a lot of sense if somebody's under a tremendous amount of stress, that stress would show up in your dreams quite a bit. And that's part of your ability to process through that is this vivid nature of these dreams. The vivid nature, I would argue, has to do with the emotional salience. You're stressed and that stress is coming out in the dream.
For me in particular, it's not that they're negative dreams or nightmares. They're
I'm not suggesting
that they are. I can remember details that I usually, I'd be like, oh, I think that person was a dream. And now I have like a full narrative with who was in it, characters, colors.
Right. So the next question that you asked me is, how do you remember your dreams or what makes it more likely to remember your dreams, right? So we were just talking about content. Now let's talk about recall. So when we talk about recall, that has more to do with when in the dream you woke up, what stage of sleep you were in. In many cases, what we discover is when you wake up out of REM sleep, which has a tendency, by the way, to occur in the last third of the night, you remember your dreams better. Now, just to be fair, and I've said this before, but I've started to learn something that might be a little bit different. But generally speaking, once you start remembering your dreams, it's not easy to not remember your dreams. And so people always ask me all the time, they're like, Michael, can you teach me how to remember my dreams? Yeah, I can do that, but be careful what you ask for. You may not want to remember every single dream you have, right? I don't know how to metric that. I can either turn it on or turn it off.
You might not want to remember, I guess.
Right, exactly, right? I mean, this is a place where there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on, right? And so it's okay that our unconscious is working some of that shit out for us because I think we need it to.
Yeah, we're processing.
Especially now.
The quantum dreaming is a way to process. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. People shouldn't be afraid of it. People should think, this is my brain trying to help me work through it. And I've even had some people where now they're writing out their dreams to be able to try to understand more from them. You are the best interpreter of your dreams by far.
If you don't...
Oh, you don't think that's BS?
So like, here's what
dream
I can...
Dream analysis?
Well, so here's what I can tell you is dreams can be... So if you were swimming in water, does it mean you hate your mother? No, of course not, right? Like, that's that shit's stupid, right? But what I can tell you is I've done therapy with people who've had nightmares before. And once you understand the core of the nightmare, you can treat that person and you can get a lot of good things from it. So we have to respect the dream. I'm just not convinced that I can interpret the dream, if that makes any sense to you.
I'm fascinated. I want to find out more about you, not just about your recurring dreams. So we're going to do this little quiz with you.
Okay.
So we're flipping the tables here. Jess, you want to go ahead and...
Let's do it.
Fire away, Jess.
Okay. Mascara 5.
Okay. What was... This is a really deep insight, Dr. Bruce. Okay.
We'll see.
So buckle up. Okay.
We'll see, he says.
Okay. What was the first beauty or grooming product that you fell in love with or vividly remember using?
I guess as a young man, it would probably be a razor because shaving, my dad taught me how to shave. I remember when I was very, very young, my dad would sit, shaving and he gave me a Dixie cup and he put shaving cream all over my face and I would shave my face with the Dixie cup. And he would, while he was shaving his face, so he was teaching me how to shave. So I think that was probably the first memory that I have. That's probably my favorite grooming idea, I guess.
That's really
memory.
Sweet.
That's sweet.
Okay. Who is, man, maybe this is a funny one since you work with so many celebrities. Who is the celebrity that you just know you'd be best friends with?
Oh, who's the celebrity I'd be best friends with? Huh. Gosh, that's a good question. I know a bunch of people. And it's interesting because one of the things that I've learned about celebrities is you cannot judge them by their celebrity. Like most celebrities have an image or a theme or something that goes with them. And in many, many cases, that's just not who they are for real.
That's funny.
But if I could get in a room and have an interesting conversation with somebody and have some fun, it would be The Rock.
Nice.
I like that guy.
He seems super cool.
And he's super positive. And what I like about him is that he always says you have to earn it. And I believe in that. I work my ass off every day. And I think he does too.
I do too. And I want him to run for office. I feel like he'd
be an
excellent politician.
He would be amazing.
What's your most and favorite indulgent snack?
Ice cream.
Specific. Can we eat this at night before bed?
I eat almost a pint every night.
Why aren't you like?
How many miles
guy?
Do you run?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm an intermittent faster. I'm very dialed in on my nutrition. I'm dialed in on my exercise.
What's your pint of choice?
So you're gonna love this. I actually work with a company that makes sleep friendly ice cream. It's called Night Food. NIGHTFOOD. Check it out. It's awesome.
What flavor?
There's all kinds of flavors. My favorite is the cherry one. It's like dried tart cherries with chocolate chips. It's kind of like Garcia a little bit.
Yeah.
But like no calories. Like it's like one of those low cal. It's really good. I love it. But my go-to for sure is ice cream. And I've really gotten into mochi lately. Do you know what mochi is?
Oh, yes.
That shit's good.
That's like portable ice cream.
Portable. It's hand ice cream.
I know. It's great. It's perfect.
That's awesome. Okay. Now, what song pumps you up? I suppose, are you going to run? What would you run to?
Yeah. So I like Macklemore. Quite a bit. He just friggin' knocks it in, and that's how I start my run. I like Macklemore. You're gonna love this. He's on my playlist for running. Britney Spears, and it's Work Bitch is my favorite song.
Yes.
You know what song I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Of course. Yes.
It's amazing. Like, you're just going, going, going. Because, you know, when you're running, that's kind of how you are.
And then the last question is, what do you want to raise a wand to? And that is our kind of Fat Mascara stamp of approval. What are you obsessed with right now? It could be a book, a show, a person, a food, anything you're loving at the moment.
Well, I'm really loving this Restflix thing. That thing is really cool for me. But, I'll tell you what, I'm totally into this new thing. So I'm working with this company called Ebb Therapeutics, and they make this thing that you put on your head, and it cools your forehead, and it slows down your thinking, and it makes you sleep faster. And it really works. Like, I swear to God. So, you know, when you, like, the biggest complaint for insomnia is you can't turn off your brain, mm-hmm. right? You know that. Yeah. I mean, you've all had that experience, right? So this is interesting. So this guy, Eric Knopfinger, he was studying and he did MRIs on people while they were trying to fall asleep to see, like, brain activity. And what he discovered was that the cerebral blood flow, and when you're falling asleep and thinking, is really fast. And he said, well, I wonder what would happen if I slowed down cerebral blood flow. Right. And so now clearly you don't want to slow it down too much because then you're dead. Right. But he discovered that he could do it with temperature. In fact, he could do it with cold. And so over the course of about 5 years, he discovered that he places this thing across your forehead, and it's these three squares, and they get to a certain temperature, and then they stay at that temperature. So it slows down your thinking and it stops that ruminative thought.
Could that help with migraines?
It could.
No, it sounds delightful.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. Nice. So I don't have sleep problems. I don't have insomnia. I put this thing on, and when I woke up, I was like, hell yeah, I got a great night's sleep.
I want an Ebb.
I've been wearing this thing for 4 weeks every night. And I love it.
Interesting.
It's called the Ebb Versa.
Okay.
Okay, good to know.
I'll check it out.
So that's my new fun, kind of crazy weird thing.
Thank you so much, great. Dr. How'd I do? Bruce.
You did great.
Amazing. I learned a ton. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I got to go sort my room out, like, as soon as we hang up.
So I have a great article that you should check out on my blog that's called The Home Environment. And it'll tell you, like, from a light perspective, how much wattage you want, from a sound perspective, decibel levels, things like that. It gets into some of the details for people. But I thought, if it's okay with you guys, can I end with a really quick 5-step plan for people to help them get their sleep really...
Sure.
Awesome. So this is a super easy 5-step plan. Anybody can do it and it won't cost you a dime. Here's what you do. So step number one is pick one wake-up time and stick to it, including the weekends. I know that sucks, but it will keep your circadian rhythm constant. And this is the most important part of the entire program. To be fair, it's probably the most important fact that I've said on the podcast is to wake up at the same time every single day. That's step one. Step number two is to stop caffeine by 2 p.m. I know Jess doesn't like that idea,
Lows.
But caffeine has a half-life of between 6 and 8 hours. So if you stop at 2, by about 10, at least half of it should be out of your system. 10 to 11 is about the time that most people want to fall asleep. Step number three has to do with alcohol. Stop drinking alcohol 3 hours before bed. Don't have more than 3 drinks, and you will sleep much better. Step number four is exercise every single day if you can, but don't run a marathon, right? 20 minutes, a little bit of cardio, walk the dog, do something, right? But don't do it right before bed. Wait 4 hours before bed because you don't want that heat of your body working out to disrupt your ability to fall asleep. Because remember, we always fall asleep better in the cool. And then the final thing is when you wake up in the morning, you drink a 16 to 18 ounce glass of water and get some sunshine, about 15 minutes of it. Sunshine turns off the melatonin faucet in your brain. Remember, you're dehydrated. I think we talked about that to death. And you need to get some water in you. So remember, step number one, one wake up time. Step number two, stop caffeine by 2 p.m. Step number three, stop alcohol 3 hours before bed. Step number four, exercise daily. Stop exercise 4 hours before bed. And step number five is give the sun a high five in the morning by getting 15 minutes of sunlight and a little bit of water.
A little
that
bit.
Is so
16
great.
Ounces in a little bit, but I'm going to try it.
That's that's amazing, and I'm not doing any of those things right now. So that's like, I thought you were going to say really obvious stuff. I mean, not that you said anything obvious, but I thought it was going to be like fairly obvious. This is all completely new and novel to me. So thank you.
And it works. Like, it won't cost you a dime to do this.
No, it's
here's
really
the, here's my challenge. Do it for a week. I guarantee you will feel better. I guarantee it.
Thank you.
Really right. Good. Thank you so much.
Okay, those were a lot of tips for me.
It was only five. He's like, it's only five, but yet felt like we got some homework to do, huh?
It felt laborious. It felt like I have a lot of lifestyle changes to make if I want to.
But he did it in that morning talk show kind of way. We're like, five easy tips. And I was like, okay, I'm ready.
I was like, I can totally down four raw eggs every morning. It's no problem.
No, but going to bed at the same time, get it. I mean, they're all doable. They're doable.
But like the thing about like, well, I mean, now it's different for me. Like I can wake up on the weekends at the same time. But like he has to be like high on crack if he thinks that like most normal people are going to be like, yeah, on the weekends, totally. I'm going to wake up at the same time as I wake up for work.
You know what, though? I feel like if you do have sleep problems, you will do anything.
That's true.
To like not have insomnia or have to take drugs. So clearly our sleep problems are probably not that bad. Yes. That we don't want to do that.
Bless.
But I hope if anybody's listening and they have issues, that that really helped, you know?
I hope so. I do love the idea of like the just creating like this more serene...
Of course, that was your favorite.
I like the spa-like atmosphere.
Why am I not surprised?
But I also don't, like, I'm looking right now, my husband's, like, rack of running laundry clothes. It's clean, but it's like,
yeah,
like, that's there. Like, so now I have a chore to do. Like, there's just the, like, the reality is... I know what he's saying. Like, you need to change your reality.
I think it would, if you live in a larger home too, anyone, that might be a little bit easier to do.
Yeah. But. It's just really hard right now with like, when you're when you're in like a tight space. Anyway, shall we raise a wand to...
Yes, thank you, Dr. Bruce. Let's raise a wand. Yeah. Do you want to go first?
I do. So
it's your birthday. I'll let you.
Thank you. It's my birthday. So one of my birthday... like treats, I'm going to say like one of my treats. And I really, this is like, there's some listener involvement here. If everyone would run out and go try the Burger King Impossible Whopper, that would really like psych me up because I feel like a lot of my favorite items get discontinued.
Oh, so you need sales to be like through the roof so that it sticks around.
Yes. I really love the Burger King Impossible Whopper. It's an incredible product. Even if you like regular meat, like, you know, animal meat, I think you're going to be really impressed. You can even add cheese on it. I'll let you because like, you don't need my permission. I was like kidding. But like, I get cheese on it. I'm not like vegan, you know, like I'm not a vegan. I'm an aspiring vegan. But with the cheese, it's amazing. Without the cheese, it's amazing. My husband is not vegetarian. He loves the Impossible Whopper. He will get it. If I get it, he's getting it. We will get it like together and enjoy it like it's a gourmet meal. We put it on real nice plates and we enjoy it. Get it with pickles. Get it with mustard. Dress it up. Dress it down. It's incredible. The bun is good. It's great. Everyone's talking about this new Travis Scott McDonald's meal. I'm not... so excited that this meal is gaining traction. I don't think it's a very environmentally friendly or humane meal. I don't love the buzz. I really would like to get all eyes back on the BK Impossible Whopper.
I want you to come out with like the video, like to counter that with like Jessica Matlin says, get the Impossible Burger.
That's
and
my meal, baby.
Travis Scott fans are like,
who the fuck is Jessica Matlin?
Who's that lady?
No, it's so good. I get it with a big Diet Coke, some nice fries, put a lot of salt in them, and then I settle into one of my favorite shows.
That sounds like a nice, honestly, that sounds like a nice birthday night in these times. That's all you can ask
for,
right?
It is so good.
I haven't tried that version of, but the Impossible Meat is like a freaking like wonder of science.
It's
truly
so good.
It really is.
And you can look
into it. I read a whole article on how they make it. And it's expensive to make the process.
Very expensive.
Yeah, but like it freaking worked. That stuff is juicy and tasty and textured nicely. It's all good.
And if you don't like it, you can email me. You can write me and say it was. I didn't like it. I'm not going to Venmo you back. But you can have it out with me.
Let's keep it on the beauty products. You ready for my
razor wands? Yeah.
Okay, so
they're gonna throw burgers at me.
I know. I still don't know. I still haven't got a haircut. I'm still not really sure what I'm doing with my hair now that my hairstylist is in LA and I'm dyeing it myself. So I've just been dyeing the inch around my hairline, but I came up with this like home hack. Everybody knows I use the DP hue for the hairline. Yeah. I'm not raising a wand to that.
The rest of my hair stays dry, but I want to keep it out of the way and like sort of like glued down so it doesn't accidentally get in the brown dye because I want it to be white. So I've taken to coating it with Philip Kingsley Elasticizer.
Oh, good.
Because that's meant to be used on dry hair. And I know hair masks on dry hair, it's like by the time you're in the shower and think of like, oh shit, I need a hair mask, your hair's already wet. So like a dry hair mask takes thinking, right?
Yeah, I like that.
So I've been separate my hair out. The hair that gets dyed gets separate. The rest gets coated with Philip Kingsley Elasticizer and I put it in a little shower cap. And then it takes me like 45 minutes to dye my hair because like 10 minutes to put it on, then 45 minutes, whatever. So then when I rinse everything out, the white hair is so much softer, the gray and white hair. The brown looks nice, fine, whatever. But that Philip Kingsley Elasticizer, that's the shit. This isn't like your shower deep mask. This is like your makes coarse gray unruly hair stretchy, soft again.
I need to get back into that. I haven't used that product in probably 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a good product.
I don't know if they've updated the formula. I feel like they must have because I was like, oh, this, I forgot about this. And like some old conditioners I've tried again. There was this one from Italy called like Terrax Crema.
Yeah, I remember Terrax.
It's still nice, but like I was like, we could do better. Shit, the elasticizer is like the bomb. So
I'm inspired.
Put it in your dry hair. Maybe while you're dyeing your bangs, if that's your thing, or just like take some time to put it in your dry hair. You know what? Put it in your dry hair, put on a shower cap. Go get yourself an Impossible Whopper.
Oof. Oh, yeah. That's guys, they deliver in the city. I get it from
Burger King. Oh, my God. You don't even have to
leave. The Burger King app or Grubhub.
Now, how is that for a sexy middle-aged night?
I'll
tell you what.
Why is Travis Scott sounding like, not his meal, but I just feel like it doesn't have the same ring. Like the J-Mat pack.
Get your, it has Philip Kingsley Elasticizer.
Okay, get yourself an elasticizer and a J-Mat pack. Put on your housewives.
And wish Jessica happy birthday.
Okay? And cheers.
Okay. Do it this weekend. We'll see you next week.
All right, clinky. Cheers. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed the show.
It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Razor One product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.